Welcome to this presentation from the Downey Seventh-day Adventist Church. We are located in the greater Los Angeles area at 9820 Lakewood Boulevard in Downey, California. We would love to have you worship with us any Saturday you are in our area.
I'm so grateful that we have a team here who's willing to step out of their comfort zone. So many things that I'm trying to do. So let's give it a hand. And thank you, Pilar, for organizing that. You will see more drama in the future. Let's pray. God, as we now jump into sermon aspect today, we pray that you will lead and guide us in Jesus' name. Amen. You ever told God, are you sure, God? Like, are you really, really sure about this? Maybe we're scared. Maybe we're wondering, is that really the path I want to take? Do I want to do the uncomfortable thing? Now, in Ananias' defense, God was asking him to go essentially to his sworn enemy. Not sworn, but he definitely was nervous about what God was asking. And so we see Ananias had to confront his fear. When we think of fear, what comes to mind? Let's not go down that path. Let's avoid it. Recently, Chapman University did a survey of American fears. I believe they took the survey in 2021 and then they published it last year. Do you know what the top 10 fears of 2021-22 was? Starting at number 10, 51.5% said biological warfare. 52.5% said pollutions of oceans, rivers, and lakes. The eighth was economic financial collapse. Number seven, not having enough money for the future. Number six, pollution of drinking water. Number five, the U.S. becoming involved in another world war. Number four, people that they loved who were dying. Number three, Russia using nuclear bombs. Number two, people that you love becoming seriously ill. And the number one, at 62.1%, corrupt government officials. How is your trust in this world? People that we're supposed to be able to honor and respect and listen to, are they behaving in the way that we expect them to? Are they listening to us? Do they care? Can you trust the information that's being told to you? Can you trust the news? Don't answer. We're going live. We're in an age where, let's be honest, we can't even have a civil conversation at times. Here we find, in the book of Acts, we're going to focus specifically on chapter 9. But leading to chapter 9, chapter 7, there's a man by the name of Stephen, faithful follower. And one day he's brought before to have a hearing because he's saying some things that was going against the protocol of what should have been said. And he tells the officials, he reminds them of the story of the Jewish faith from the very beginning all the way to where they were. And he had some choice words that they did not approve. And so what did they do? They followed scripture according to them. They took him outside. They took their coats off because they were about to throw some rocks at him. So they had to make sure they had a good throw, a good swing. And they laid their coats at whose feet? A man by the name of Saul. Later on, Saul would grow up because he was a young man in chapter 7. And he would drag men and women off to prison, those who were believers of the way. Saul, in a sense, he was a militant behavior a believer in the cause that he was fighting. He was trained in the best schools, learning under Gamaliel. He had a Gentile parent and a Jewish parent. Have you ever met a Saul-like person who was a Christian? Militant in their faith, but yet going about it in absolutely all of the wrong ways. Let's go to the Bible and see what it says. In chapter 9, we're going to rehash a little bit of what you have just seen. Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, verse 1. And it has some very, very descriptive language. I'm now at the age where I have to take my glasses off to read. And it says, meanwhile, Saul was breathing out what kind of threats? Murderous, meaning he wanted vengeance, he wanted death. And he went to the high priest and he asked them for what? Letters. Why did he want letters? Because he wanted to make sure that what he was about to carry out would cover his tracks. He went to the letters, he found the letters, he got the letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found anyone there who belonged to the way, other men and women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. Okay? So he gets official documentation to cover his tracks. Imagine now that he's asking the religious leadership at this time permission to imprison people who thought differently than him. Can you imagine the church having a tribunal, a council, that if somebody wanted to go to, they could get papers to say they're not acting correctly, they're not keeping the Sabbath correctly, they're saying false things, they're misrepresenting God, so give us permission and we'll arrest them and we'll bring them here and then we'll throw them in prison. What does that sound like? You're crazy, right? We have rights. But back then, it was a different time. And as we continue, it says, as he neared Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him and he fell to the ground and he heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And Saul responds, who are you, Lord? And notice in your Bible, what color are the letters? They're red. And who signifies red letters? Jesus. Jesus is asking Paul, I'm sorry, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He says, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city and you will be told what you must do. So Paul, who was part of the ruling majority, his life is about to change. And it's here that we see that Jesus is confronting Saul. Now, there are some other guys who are with him. They can see what's happening, but they're kind of scratching their heads. Why is Saul acting like this? And imagine being Saul now. He had to get help to get to Damascus because he couldn't see. So much so that when Jesus reaches out to him, he falls down. I always kind of think, you know, it doesn't say, but he probably was on a horse. You ever been thrown off a horse? I may or may not have been thrown off a couple times. Horses just don't like me. But imagine being thrown off your horse or regardless, falling down. You can't see because, as you'll read later, there was some type of scale-like thing on his eyes. He was forcefully blinded. Have you ever lost your sight for a time? Have you ever lost function of a body part? Maybe your ankle. You twist your ankle or you break your ankle. And all of a sudden, you can't just get up and walk around. You've lost your mobility. Now, for Saul, he lost his eyesight. He can't see. He has to use his hands. He has to depend on the men who were with him to get to Damascus. And it's here that, you know, as I thought about this, really, I'd never really thought about it in depth. But here, Saul is now confronted with the fact of the actions that had led him to this point, I imagine him questioning his personal beliefs. Is it possible that everything that he was taught, that he lived for, that he tried to serve and do in the service of the Lord, was he wrong? And also, when he gets to Damascus, okay, did he have anything to eat or drink? Nothing. Verse 9 says, for 3 days he was blind and he didn't eat or drink anything. I'm not going to lie, I'd probably be hangry after 3 days. But especially no water. They didn't have AC back in the day. Imagine being Saul at this point, sitting in a room, unable to see, not eating, not drinking. Darkness has settled in. It's a lot of time to think and reflect. Amen? I imagine him thinking, why God? Why am I here? Why am I in this position? He finally had to come to grips with who he was. And really, he was in a state of vulnerability. Previously, we read that he was breathing out murderous threats. He wanted people to die. It's almost like he became ISIS for a little bit. Did you really say that, Pastor? But he believed with everything that he thought, and he went out. He went after it. And we find now a man by the name of Ananias, an unsung hero. And it, as we've journeyed through this series of unsung heroes, many of them are placed in life and death scenarios. Ananias was no exception. We find in verse 10, it says, in Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias, and the Lord called him in a vision. Ananias, yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord said to him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. Saul is being faithful. He's doing what he knows to do is to pray. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Now, if you're Ananias, how are you feeling? I imagine his stomach was in knots and his heart started to beat a little faster. Amen? Lord, do you know what you're asking of me? And he says, Lord, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he's come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name. And you know what I love about this passage? What's Ananias doing? He's questioning God. Are we allowed to do that? Now, the Lord responds, go. This man is my what? My chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to all the people of Israel. I will show him how he must suffer for my name. Meaning, God has a plan for Saul. The most unlikely of choices is going to serve the Lord and ultimately be martyred for it. Have you ever tried to predict people who you think are going to be faithful believers, and then all of a sudden you kind of scratch your head, what went wrong? Ananias, in his head, he's thinking, this guy cannot possibly be the guy that God wants to go on and serve. And yet we find, if you read the New Testament, how many letters does Paul send out? We were just studying earlier the book of Ephesians in Sabbath school. He had a really great lesson. How we should treat our children, how children should treat their parents, how we should deal with people who are enslaved, or sometimes when you're working, you feel like a slave. Amen? And it took courage, even though in Ananias' heart and mind, he's saying, are you sure, God? Ananias gets up. And he goes. So Ananias, in verse 17, went to the house and he entered it. He placed his hands on Saul. And he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Saul's life is about to change. And immediately, something like scales fell from Ananias' eyes, and he could see again. He got up and he was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. I think there's definitely a couple of lessons that we can take from this passage. It's number one, Ananias showed tremendous grace and acceptance towards Saul by calling him what? Brother. Your sworn enemy, would you dare to want to call him brother? Him or her? Brother or sister? I'd be rather driving the other way to get as far away as far as possible if I were Ananias. But he doesn't have that option because God came to him in a vision and said, "I want you to go." And as our skit highlighted earlier, Ananias calling Saul brother? When you hear the term brother, what comes to mind? Someone close? Family? Love? You're supposed to love your brother, right? Do you fight with your brothers and sisters? Those of you who say, "No, I don't believe you." Even to this day, I still fight with my siblings. It's a loving fight, though. And I love this story because Ananias questions God. And did God smite Ananias? No. I think sometimes God expects questions because if we're about to do something in the name of the Lord and it could potentially cost our life or cost us an unpleasant time, we got to know why we're going, right? Faith sometimes has questions. And it's okay to ask questions. But he goes and he calls him brother. We think of family, love, closeness, not an enemy. And Ananias, as our skit pointed out, he could have done something to Paul. "Now's my moment to take this guy out in the name of the Lord." But he doesn't. He responds with love because the Lord specifically told Ananias, "I have chosen Saul to be a witness." And not only that, he doesn't just call him brother. He puts his hands on Ananias. Do you want to put your hands on your enemy? In a literal sense or a figurative sense, sometimes you do. Let's be honest. They make you so angry. I want to shake you. But no. He tenderly places his hands. And he places his hands and the scales from Saul's eyes fall off. The one who is breathing out murderous threats, who is now placed in a place of vulnerability and desperation, is treated with love and grace and compassion. Is there anybody in your life that you consider your enemy? And God is calling you to have reconciliation between you two? Could be your neighbor, the one who snitches on you for the HOA. Could be your sibling. Could be your parent. Could be your friend. Could be a fellow church member. Could be that coworker that always talks around at the water cooler. Or maybe, who knows, could be anybody. The second thing though, or the other takeaway here is that God desires that we have love for those who persecute us. Earlier we were talking about dealing with bad bosses or bad coworkers. Right. How should we respond to them? With love. Now, am I saying then that you can be a doormat? You can be a punching bag? No. Was Jesus a doormat? No. Did Jesus ever get upset? So is it okay to get upset? To a degree, because we are emotional people. Amen? Now, if you always live in a state of anger 365 days a year, maybe you need to check yourself before you wreck yourself. Right? Because if you're not dealing with your emotions and you're not dealing with your anger, there's something wrong. And that could have dangerous consequences. Okay? So, love, but don't be a doormat. Jesus was firm. He says to turn the other cheek, but he also doesn't just blindly be a doormat. But also, God will be with you as you courageously face your fears, just as Ananias confronted his fears of going down the city straight, the street called Straight. When it comes to courage, Maya Angelou wrote this on developing courage. In an interview for Harvard Business Review, the poet Maya Angelou was asked about the most important lessons that she learned from her very own mother. And Miss Angelou said, "I would say she encouraged me to develop courage, and she taught me by being courageous herself. And after years of leaving her and I think becoming courageous, I realized that one isn't born with courage. One develops it. One develops courage. And you develop it by doing small, courageous things in the same way that one wouldn't set out to pick up a 100-pound bag of rice. If that is one's aim, the person should be advised to pick up a 5-pound bag, then a 10-pound bag, and then a 20-pound, and so forth, until one is able with enough muscle to actually pick up 100 pounds. And that is the same way with courage. You develop courage by doing courageous things, small things, but things that cost you some exertion, mental and I suppose spiritual exertion. Many years ago, I became a lifeguard and also a water safety instructor, WSI. Taught kids how to swim. And especially young kids, They love to just want to jump in the water. And then sometimes, though, even adults, they want to learn how to swim, but they're petrified of water. And sometimes I've heard stories where other instructors would say, we had to start by just putting their toes in the water because they were so scared. Have you ever felt so scared about something, a situation that you're facing, that the first step is just to put your toes in the water? And eventually, as you walk into the water, maybe you'll get them to get to their waist, but they're still holding onto the wall just in case. Now, as kids too, oh, this would vex me so much. Kids who did not know how to swim, I think the first sermon that I preached here, I was talking about how kids would hug the wall. They want to go to the deep end, but they didn't know how to swim. So they'd hug that wall, and every time we'd have to tell them, go back. And then as you're teaching these kids, okay, let's get down to the water level at your chin and just put your face in the water up and breathing. This person is developing courage with the simplest of baby steps. Next, put your hands on the wall, put your face in the water and start to kick. And eventually you tell them, do a stroke. And next thing you know, they're doing freestyle laps across the pool. Person who would not get into the water had to start with just dipping their toes. And sometimes courage means dipping your toes into the pool of whatever you are facing. A new job, an unexpected life change where your spouse decides, I no longer want to be with you. Dipping your toes in the courage to get up when you get a diagnosis that you were not expecting. Deletion of a job, difficult neighbor, you name it. We all can learn from Ananias. Sometimes we may say, are you sure, God? But God will be faithful. So may you pray and develop that courage, even if it means starting by just dipping your toes into the pool. Eventually, you will be swimming laps not just 100 yards, but maybe a couple of miles. The Lord can do wonderful things if you trust God. And when God calls you to do something amazing, such as the unsung hero, Ananias, be ready, because God will call. May you go with courage and strength. So this week, or reflect, where in your life have you been maybe scared and hesitant and still follow God's leading and overcoming your fears? Where is the moment where God helped you to overcome your fear? And this week, I want you to, what is the most pressing fear that you have, and ask God for courage and wisdom and tackle that fear, whatever that may be. May the Lord bless you, lead and guide you. May you be an unsung hero like Ananias, even when you're saying, are you sure, God? Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy. I pray for each one of us here that we go forth. Lord, lead and guide and mold us into the disciples that you've called us to be. And where we're unsure, Lord, make us sure. Forgive us of our shortcomings. Help us to be faithful to you in all things. And may we trust in you. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Grace and peace, everyone. Have a great week. Don't take off.